for her last interview, we asked our former principal if she considered herself to be a feminist. Do you?
Yes, well, I consider myself to be very committed to equality mm-hmm. among genders. Mm-hmm. And so, and if that's a definition of feminism, then yes, I am.
You are listening to Excuse the News, a McGill Daily and CKUT News collaboration. Today we have an interview conducted by Molly Korab, news editor of the McGill Daily, with Suzanne Fortier, McGill University's brand new principal. Fortier talks budget cuts, feminism, and McGill's role in Quebec. Also present and adding a few comments in the interview are the university's director of internal communications, Doug Sweet.
We were reading an article the other day in Le Journal de Québec. Mm-hmm. When you stated that you would be taking a lower paycheck than the previous principal, we were wondering if other administrators are also taking a lower salary.
Oh,
if it's the 3% salary cut.
Yeah, the other administrators have all taken a 3% mm-hmm. cut and also a freeze. Mm-hmm. And as long as the freeze is on, their salary will be frozen.
Is yours also a 3% salary cut?
My contract, it's not finalized yet, mm-hmm. Not because there's a disagreement, but there are some technicalities that have to occur. Mm-hmm. There's a process that has to take place. And so as soon as it is finalized, signed, it will be made public. So I prefer not to, it's just good practice not to talk about something until it is signed, finalized.
McGill has recently slipped in international rankings. Which has obviously prompted concern from some members of McGill and post-secondary community. How do you feel about this slip in rankings, and do you think it shines light on a bigger problem at McGill?
But as you know, I'm a scientist, so I can tell you that these rankings, of course, are not a scientific exercise. There's a very large margin of error. And so a slip from 18 to 21 is not very significant. I think most people think of the margin of error as being about plus or minus 5. Mm-hmm. However, we certainly know which direction we'd like to move. And it's not in this direction. We'd like to move the other way. And what I feel is that these rankings, while not highly accurate, nevertheless help you. They help you in particular in providing with a lot of very, very good data, not necessarily very precise, but nevertheless data that you can mine and start to learn not only about yourself, but about the current environment for higher education, this incredible race for talent that we're seeing all over the world. So we need to be aware of that and see the trends and learn from them. I always say, though, and that's there's a perverse side to the rankings, and that is that they could lead to all universities being clones of each other, which is not a good environment for the higher education sector. A good higher education sector should offer different opportunities, different environment for their students. And I do think that McGill has some pretty unique characteristics, and we want to protect those. That's what is at the foundation of our strengths, are those unique characteristics. So we must be careful not to, as they say, study for the exam, but really learn about, take advantage of the data to learn how the whole higher education system is evolving around the world, across the world, and see our place in there and where we want to advance according to our own goals.
You've previously expressed concern about the poor faculty to student ratio at McGill. With budget cuts and recent cuts to art courses that will see smaller classes such as seminars cut, how do you plan on improving this ratio?
Let me just say my concern is across the country, out of this ranking this year of the QS ranking, the main, I believe, researcher and analyst of the rankings, he's outside of Canada, that was his comment that across the Canadian universities, they're seeing an increase in student faculty ratio. And that includes McGill. Although McGill continues to have one of the lower student faculty ratio, across the country we're seeing that. And it's a difficult issue for us because, as you probably know, with the cuts that we've had to absorb on a very short notice, there's been a freeze of hiring. But I think one thing we need to remember is that in the past, that was one of the focus at McGill, was to increase the number of faculty members, and substantial gains had been made. So for us, I think the question is, when will we be able financially to return to what was and still is a very important goal for this university?
One of the bigger problems stemming from the budget cuts has involved the restructuring and slashing of library services.
Yes, yeah.
Students have lost 24-hour access to the libraries, the laptop lending program, and of course, library sciences has now moved to Schulich. Can students expect to regain some of these services?
What we're going to do, I should say at the outset that one of the particular circumstances of these cuts is that we did not have a lot of time to plan. The cuts were announced two-thirds in the financial years. They were not expected by most universities, so this came as a surprise, I think. And then here, in order to deal with the cut, we had a voluntary retirement program. And again here, normally when people retire, they give you a year advance notice, particularly long-serving members of the community, they'll let you know. Like here, the program arrived and people said, okay, am I going to take advantage of that or not, without giving you that kind of a notice period. And so this is a transition period right now where people have left and reorganization will have to take place. What I know is happening is that there will be, or there already is, consultation with the students. We'd want to know where are the pressure points, what are the areas that we need to attend to as soon as possible. The deputy provost and the dean of graduate studies will be involved in that, so that we need to find out what are the immediate place where we should put attention. But there certainly is a transition period that we will hopefully get out of as soon as possible, but it is inevitable. A word I don't pronounce very well. My English colleagues say inevitable. Inevitable. No, I don't think I've got it.
You're close.
You've got to say it for me.
Well, I would wager that one of those issues would be 24-hour access.
Yes, I've heard about this, and I know students would like to have that. And of course, and I'm new, as you know, so I don't know all the details, but I imagine it involves more than the staff in the library to offer the service, but also some level of security.
Closing 24-hour library access had a lot to do with saving money on support staff, like cleaning and security, who are typically there during the night. And there's been some talk of, you know, combined with the wage freeze and the wage freeze and hiring freeze for non-unionized workers, isn't really good news for employees. How has the administration accommodated non-academic staff in the face of budget cuts?
There are many different groups in the non-academic staff. Some of them have seen their wage frozen. Other groups, not so. So we can't put them all in the same group. But obviously, the groups that opted for not a reduction in their wages, not a salary freeze. Nobody had a reduction, but it was salary freeze. They've been affected by the higher number of people who decided to take voluntary retirement, I believe, although I'm not 100% sure of that. So it's a different, there are different groups of employees on campus.
If I might, it might be worth noting that we were able to avoid collective dismissals.
Yes.
In this, there were no layoffs.
And that was what was looming. If without the voluntary retirement, we would have had to have collective dismissal.
Is the administration working with campus unions to for the future? of budget cuts in non-unionized workers and unionized workers, for that matter.
Of course, yes.
So the new bike gates have been pretty criticized for making campus more inaccessible and failing to deter bikers. Why won't the university put in bike lanes?
I can't say that I know the answer to that question. You know, I've had to learn a lot about McGill, and bike lanes, while important, has not been at the top of my learning agenda. But it's a good question. Why can't we? I'm not sure, to be honest. I've walked a lot on campus over the summer months, and I'm not sure that many of the paths that I've taken would be able to accommodate bike lanes.
What's your biggest project for the university?
My biggest project? Well, at the moment, my biggest project is to really work on becoming a part of this community. Because I think that the biggest project for this university will come from the aspiration of its members, from the students, the faculty, the staff members, our alumni. This is where it's going to come. I'm not coming here and after 5 days declaring what it is that we need to do. I think that my role is to crystallize these goals and aspirations and visions of our different part of our community into something that we'll all work very well towards. But I think it would be disrespectful. I think I would use a stronger word as disrespectful to come here from outside and declare what the goal should be, you know, at the outset without having a chance to learn from the community where their aspirations are and then work as hard as I can to make that happen. I think that's what I'm here for.
Do you think the university's image has been damaged in recent years? And do you see the university's image as that of a McGill brand, quote-unquote?
Yeah, I think McGill has an incredible brand. It is, I am very happy. I'm very happy for it. I know that many people who start a job like mine, one of the first thing they do is talk about the brand question because their universities don't yet have a good, a visible brand. McGill has a very, very strong brand. I should tell you, over the period when I left NSERC and came to McGill, I did a lot of work internationally. And I was amazed. In particular, I did some work in the UK and had to meet with many, many people from the community there. And all of the, pretty much all of the people I met were the top scientists. En français, on dit les grandes pointures. Mm-hmm. La science française, la science anglaise, you know. Everybody is a sir because they have had such great accomplishments that they've earned that title. And I would introduce myself and say, well, I'm in between jobs. This is what I used to do. And I'm going to be the principal of McGill. And you should, just their reaction spoke so highly of McGill. And they say, wow. And believe me, British people don't say wow very often. Part of my own personal goal is to make that brand even stronger here at home. Because I know that among the French population, McGill, while having a very strong brand, is still viewed not as their own university. I think it's very important that the French part of the population sees McGill as their own, that they have the pride and the joy of having such an institution here in Montreal, in their province. And they've had a role to play in that. Even if they didn't come to the university, it grew here. Its history is anchored in Quebec. Let's be proud of it, all of us. And let's see it as a place where, you know, I say maybe you didn't go to McGill, maybe you didn't have the opportunity to come to McGill, but it's open for your children, your grandchildren, and let's be proud of that. I have to tell you, because I have a pretty large family, brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, grandnieces, grandnephews. So my the younger part of my family, they've seen McGill now and they pay attention to McGill and they say, oh, I'd like to come here, but So we said, well, you have to have good marks, you know, to get into McGill. They said, yes, but that won't be a problem. But I have to learn English. And they said, don't worry about it, you know. You're 12-year-old. You have several years to learn English. When I came, I didn't even speak the language. So I said, don't worry about it. Do too much. But yes, do learn English too. Take advantage of the advance notice, you know. It's a good thing to come here to learn English. But I'm hoping that the brand of McGill, particularly among the French population, will increase. And they'll see it as this incredible bridge and launching pad to connecting with the world. You just